Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believed. Hey, y'all. Guess what, y'all? It's my birthday week. Well, it's my birthday month. It's my birthday month. And I'm actually going to make this the last episode. I'm going to make this. This is going to be the last episode for the month. It's the first and the last. It's the first episode of the new year. And it's also going to be my last episode for a little while. I am going to be stepping away to just connect with the Lord. And so I'm going to take a little break for about 3 weeks, okay? So I'll be back in February. The second Sunday in February, I will be back. So, yeah, I'm going to take a little break, okay? We're starting back at work and everything is picking back up. So I need time to adjust to that and get my life together. So I'm also going to be fasting with my church. And I just really want to put all my focus and attention on what God has for me to do next. So just be patient. And there are plenty of episodes for you to go back and listen to. So please make sure that you continue to tune in and just check out the podcast, you know. Make sure you share it with your friends and everyone. But before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. Thank you, Father God, for your word that is going to go forth. Father, let your word go forth without distraction, delay, or any hindrances. Father God, I just ask right now that you protect each and every heart and mind that is tuned in. Father God, I pray that you have your way. Let your word penetrate the deepest hurts. Heal every broken heart. Lord, mend it and draw near to us during this episode. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So y'all, I got my hot chocolate. Marshmallows. I wanted some hot chocolate before I go to bed. I'm going, like, as soon as I get off of this thing, I'm brushing my teeth and I'm going to sleep. Like, we got work tomorrow, y'all. I'm like, I deserve an extra week. I was sick for a whole week of my break. It's crazy. I was sick for a whole week. It's not fair. But, you know, life goes on. That's what the saying is. So, y'all, I turned 40, Lord willing, on Wednesday. And I don't know. It's just thinking back on 40. Like, somebody at my church said, the next time I see you, you'll be 40. And I just started crying. I was like, I'm so sorry. I said, it overwhelms me. I'm so grateful to be on the threshold of this age, because there are so many people who don't make it to this age. I mean, I know people who did not make it to this age, and it is a blessing to see, especially in this time period. And I'm grateful. I truly am grateful. And honestly, I don't know. It feels like something different, like a shift. And I don't know. it's unnerving, because it's like when you've gone through so much trauma like me, I mean, I believe everybody goes to a degree of trauma in their lives. It's just it can affect you. And for the longest time, it was hard for me to think about anything good, because I was always waiting for the other shoe to fall. You know, because I didn't want to get my hopes up. I didn't want to get disappointed. And it's like, I think that's what I'm really facing is, I want to hope that this is really going to be a good, like, my 40s are going to be, like, awesome. I really want to hope that, but on the other side, it's like, I'm nervous. I'm so nervous, because it's like, what's going to happen? What's getting ready to happen? You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's something, and I was thinking, I was actually having a conversation with my pastor. I sent him a video. I'm not going to name drop or anything like that, but there is a pastor and he has a ministry. And he has a controversial video for his birthday. Now, I'm not going to go into specifics or details about the video, but the video is controversial because he looks like a worldly rapper, okay? And if this gets to him, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm making a point, okay? He looks like a worldly rapper. What I told my pastor was, I know I heard this specific pastor talk about how he wanted to be a Christian rapper. When he was growing up, he wanted to be a Christian rapper. Well, he was called into this ministry that he's doing. And I said, it's like when he got to a certain level, he started turning everything into a music video. Because, when you have the resources to do it, you do it, you know? So he started turning everything into a music video, and I noticed it, and I was like, well, maybe the Lord is allowing him to be able to do what he started out doing. But the problem is, I know the Lord was not leading him that way because now he's doing a whole bunch of stuff that makes no sense to preach the word. The word of God does not need a headliner. It doesn't need gimmicks or anything like that. Preach the word, be instant in season and out. Like, just preach the word. Just preach the gospel. Okay? You don't need to jump on a trampoline. You don't need to have pyrotechnics. You don't need to have any of that stuff. Just preach the word of God. The Bible says Jesus made of himself no reputation, right? So I was telling my pastor, I said, what I believe is happening is he never surrendered the life he planned for the life God had for him. And so now he's trying to live that life in the middle of what God was trying to do. And it's messing stuff up. It's turning people away from the faith. It's making people question their salvation. And I started thinking like, and I told my pastor, and he told me, because he shared his testimony. My pastor was an attorney before he started preaching, before the Lord called him. And that's the other thing, you got to be called. See, a lot of people now are running to have a platform, and you weren't called. You were not called. God calls them, like he qualifies the call. Like you know what I'm saying? You may not have all of the letters and stuff like that behind your name, but God will qualify you. I think about like Joyce Meyer. She said she didn't go to Bible school. She studied, and the Holy Spirit was her teacher. And she's been in ministry for over 40 years. So I'm just thinking like he never surrendered his life. And I told my pastor, I said, all I wanted was a family. Y'all, I promise you, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be a high school English teacher and have a family. I wanted to be married with kids, husband, dog, cat, white picket fence, like on some land. That was all I wanted to do. I did not want to do all this. I didn't even think about being an author. I wasn't thinking about doing none of that stuff. I told y'all that before. I've sat right here and I've had a podcast episode two or three about how that's what I wanted to do. And God said, no, this is not what you're doing right now. Like, he never said I couldn't have it. He never said it would never happen. He was like, just right now, I need you to do this. So the thing is, what do you do? What do you do when God pulls you from what you thought you had planned to do with your life, and he calls you to something else? And see, that's why I titled this episode Remember Lot's Wife. Now, it may be taken out of context, but I feel like when you learn the scripture and you know the scripture, like, I can see how this scripture is applied to this. So that's why I call this episode Remember Lot's Wife. And I'll explain that in a minute. But I feel like the most dangerous thing for a follower of Christ is to not have surrendered the life that you wanted while being in the ministry of what God is having you to do. Because you're not going to be driven by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be driven by what you wanted to do, your selfishness. Your selfish desires are what's going to be driving you. You literally could be operating and doing God's will. You could be feeding the poor. You could be doing what God called you to do, but your heart posture is still fixated on what you wanted to do. And that's a dangerous place, because you'll be sitting there like, well, I'm doing God's will. Yes, but what about your heart? Remember Lot's wife. Now, if you don't remember Lot's wife, in Luke 17 and verse 32, Jesus was speaking. He was talking about the day of the Lord. When he comes back, that's what he's talking about. This kind of sort of mirrors Matthew 24. So in Luke 17, I'm going to start at verse 31. He said, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now, sorry, y'all, I'm drinking my hot chocolate. Now, he's saying, basically, when he returns, it's going to be like a regular day. It's going to be like a regular day. People going to be working. People going to be doing their same routine. And then, boom, it's going to be like the day of Noah. It just started raining. And then it was a flood and people died. It's going to be like when Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember, I believe it's in Genesis 18. Let me get there. Yep. In Genesis 18. 19. 18 is when the angel showed up, and you have a Christophany in chapter 18, where Abraham was talking to the to basically Jesus, but says it's the angel of the Lord, but it was actually Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. You also see that in Genesis with Adam and Eve. You see it when Gideon, you see it there. And I think it was a couple of other places. Samson, you see it with Samson, his parents, when Jesus basically showed up and told him, like, your son is going to be this dude. He's going to be strong. Make sure he doesn't cut his hair. So, but yeah, it's a couple of places in the Old Testament where Jesus actually shows up, but it refers to him as an angel of the Lord. And I know for a fact that it's Jesus, because when they do an offering to him, when people try to do an offering to an angel, in the Old Testament, the angel refuses the offering. When you know it's a Christophany, because it's actually Jesus, because Jesus accepts the offering. So that's one sign that tells you that. It's a couple of other ways to tell. But anyway, not to digress. In chapter 18, Jesus and two other angels show up to Abraham. And they tell him, Sarah's going to be pregnant. Sarah laughs. And Jesus is like, why are you laughing? She's like, I wasn't laughing. Like, you're lying now. Okay. So, he also says, we about to go blow up Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. There's nothing you're going to do because that's what we're going to do. And Abraham's like, please don't. If it's 50 righteous. And Abraham is like trying to negotiate with the Lord. But he dropped. When you negotiate, when you're bartering, you know, on a price or something, you ain't. He just kept going down. He just kept going down until I think he got like the 10. If it's 10 righteous, guess what? It wasn't 10 righteous because Jesus was like, if it's 10 righteous, we won't destroy it. It got destroyed. So obviously there were not 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. So chapter 19, the angels show up. Now it's only two angels that show up because the other one was Jesus. But anyway, so it's only two angels that show up at Lot's door. The men of the city want to have sex with them. They're like, bring them out here so we can have sex with them. And Lot is like, no, y'all can't do this evil. Lot offers his daughters, who are virgins, but they're married. Think about that. He offers his virgin married daughters to the men of the city. Y'all, this is crazy. Like, I'm telling you, it's some hard stuff in the Old Testament. Like, the Old Testament is really hood. Like, it's ghetto stuff up in here. Like, it's some stuff. I didn't even tell y'all about, we didn't even go into the man who threw his, like, he let his wife be taken by all the men of the town, and they raped her until she died. And then he cut her body parts up and sent them out to all the tribes of Israel. Like, what? Like, it's a whole thing. Okay. That's why you got to read the Bible. So, anyway, the angels are like, look, get your family, get them out of here. Lot, his two daughters and his wife, they leave. The angel told him, y'all leave. Cause we can't do nothing until y'all get out. So y'all need to start heading. Cause see, they told Lot where to go. And Lot said, hey, can I go over here? It's a lot of stuff and I don't have time to go into it, but I'm gonna stick to the topic. He starts negotiating where he wants to go. And see, that was the problem when Abraham was getting ready to leave. Abraham leave Lot tagging along going with him. Nobody told you to go with him. He ain't asked you to go with him. You trying to negotiate stuff for yourself. So anyway, the angel said, okay, fine. Get to that place. When y'all leave, do not look back. That's what the angel said. I'm trying to see. Oh, here it is. In chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 17, it says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad. That's right. The angels took them out. They took them out of the city. He said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Then in verse 22 says, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Right? Okay. And then in verse 26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Okay. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now, I actually just saw a video breaking down the emotional aspect of this, saying that Lot's wife looking back wasn't so much Lot's wife looking back is a clear example that shows us that we could literally be doing the will of God, but our emotions are tied to what he pulled us out of, what he pulled us away from. Like, we can, our physical body could be doing God's will, going in that direction, but our spirit, our soul, our emotions are still connected to what he took us from. It's like our spirit hasn't caught up to where our body is. Or our emotions aren't caught up to where our body is. And I was like, that's so true. Because how many times have you, the Lord told you to do something, you're doing it, but you're constantly thinking about what you were trying to do. And a good example of that is, man, I don't know the address of that scripture. It may be in John. Let me see if I can pull it up. Let me see. There's an account where Jesus was on the boat with Peter. Here it is. It was Luke chapter 5. It says, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, in verse 4, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, one of the elders preached this, and it forever changed my life. I can't unsee it. Jesus said, let down the nets. Peter let down. He said, I let down the net. And he said, we always hear it taught how, because people turn this into a prosperity message. And it's like, this is not a prosperity message. This is a lesson in disobedience. When you disobey God's instruction, because Jesus clearly said, let down the nets for a draught. Peter said, okay, I'll let down the net. Peter told him what he was doing. Peter was already in the mindset of probably giving up. Like, I'm about to, you know, call it a day. We done been out here all night. We done did all of this. And Jesus talking about, let down your nets. Nets has an S. I'm an English teacher. I'm going to tell you what it is. When you have a word that has an S or an ES on it, or IES, depending on the ending of the word, like if the word ends in Y, you're going to add an IES to make it plural. If the word ends in an X, or I can't remember the other letters, but I think it's O. If the word ends in X, O, and it's another letter, then you add ES to make it plural. If it ends in just a regular letter like T, you add an S to make it plural. Plural means it's more than one. So Jesus said, let down your nets. More than one. Peter says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down a net. Net here is one. He didn't put an S on net. Peter disobeyed God. Now, people turn this into a prosperity message because they say, okay, and he let down a net. And he had so many fish, he didn't have enough. He didn't have, the net couldn't hold all the fish that he had. And all the other ships had to come and help him. That's how it's always been. I have always heard it preached like that, right? My elder said, he said, no, Peter disobeyed Jesus. The fish that the other ships had to come and put in their boat, those are supposed to be Peter's fish. Because if Peter would have let down more than one net, he would have had all the fish. And that's what disobedience causes us to do. It causes us to watch some of the stuff that we were supposed to get blessed with go with somebody else. Now, how does this tie into remember Lot's wife? Peter was already stuck in what he wanted to do. And Jesus came and disrupted what his plans were. Peter is like, we already did that. I've already done that because that was my plan. I've already put my nets out there. It didn't work. So why am I, you're interrupting me, Jesus. But the thing is, Jesus is always going to be an interruption to people who trying to do it their way. He's always going to be an interruption to people who are trying to do it their way. When you are following God's will and his way for your life, he's never an interruption. You expect him to be there and show up and tell you, okay, we need to do, okay, cool, bet. But when you are so stuck in trying to do it your way, you will miss what God is trying to do for you. When I think getting ready to turn 40 and I look back on the last 20 years of my life, it's like from the time I was 20 all the way up until 38 and a half, I was trying to live my plan. I was trying to do it my way and God interrupted me. I knew when I was sitting in my graduation at 23 years old, I said, my plan is not going to go the way I wanted it. I was supposed to graduate at 22 according to my plan. That was my plan. Graduate at 22 with my bachelor's, get married at 24, start having kids at 26, be done with having kids by 30. The only thing I did was graduate. That was the only thing I did. I did not do anything else. All I did was graduate. Now, by the time I was 30, I had 2 degrees and I got a third one when I was 34. So, but in the last two degrees, that wasn't in my plan. I didn't plan on going back to school. That wasn't a part of my plan, but that was God's plan for me. That was God's plan for me. It was God's plan for me to take 5 years of working in a special education classroom as a parapro before I entered a classroom of my own. That was God's plan. And it was so inconvenient, according to me, at that age. All of it was inconvenient. I felt so inconvenienced. It's like I was on a time clock and time was running out for me to get the things done that I wanted to get done. And the last couple of months of 39, I realized it's not about beating a clock. It's about how I'm valuing the time that's on the clock. And I was not valuing my time because I was so busy trying to do the things that I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And it's like, who are you trying to compete against? What race are you in, Stephanie? Like, what are you trying? Who's competing against you? Why are you rushing to do everything? And it's like, I'm rushing to do everything because that's what society said. I'm supposed to already have my kids. I'm supposed to already be married. Says who? Who said you already supposed to be? Who? And that was so hard to relinquish that quote unquote control of my life. It was so hard because it was like, I felt like I had a checklist and I couldn't get stuff checked off my checklist at the time that I wanted to get it checked out. By this time, I should have already, like, by the time I turned 35, I was like, I felt like a failure. Y'all, I had just bought a house. I had just bought a house, but I still felt like a failure because I'm still trying to get a man and have some babies because I'm supposed to do that before I'm 40. Who wants to have kids at 40? I found in one of my journals, I like to go back and read my entries sometimes just to see, you know, read how stupid I was. And it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm so glad I have journals because I really see how crazy I was and what mindset I was in. And a lot of times I cry. A lot of times I cry when I read my journals because I'm like, you poor little girl. Like, who, like, you poor little girl, like, oh my gosh, why were you thinking that way? You know, like, why were you so unsettled? And I was so dissatisfied with my life because I was competing against something that I don't even know why I was rushing. It's like, yeah, I still want to get married. Yeah, I would like to have kids before I'm 85 years old. That would be great. But I saw in one of my journals, it says, oh my gosh, if I said, what did I said something like, if I'm not married with kids by a certain, I can't remember what the age was, but clearly I'm past it. I was like, I'll just die. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how dramatic. Just so dramatic. You know, and it's like, I feel bad for myself because it's like, I literally bought a house at 34 years old on top of writing my first book, on top of graduating from college, on top of moving into a new position. Like, I had all of this stuff going for me, and all I could think of was, okay, I got a house, so next I get a husband and I get some kids. That's what I was thinking. I didn't. And honestly, I'm grateful God disrupted my life and disrupted the plans that I had for myself, because this journey that I have been on has taught me to not rush things. Because I also had to come to the realization, like, if I'm rushing through my life, I'm also rushing through the life of my parents. I'm also rushing through the life of my close friends and family members. It's not just my life I'm rushing. I'm rushing everybody else's life too. And what if? And you have to think about it. The closer I get to the things I want, the closer somebody else gets is going to be called home to Jesus. Like, just enjoy every moment. And it was hard. It was so hard because I kept looking back. I kept looking back on where I came from, thinking about where I was quote unquote supposed to be, according to the timeline I set for myself. And now that I am older and getting ready to go into the second half of my life, this next act, I realized I really messed up. I didn't value my life because I was so busy trying to rush to the next thing and get to the next. There is no checklist for your life. There's no checklist. There's no checklist. There's no certain point when things should happen. Of course, now we know we do have biological things that happen, anatomy, anatomical things that happen with our bodies or whatever according to a certain age. Of course, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like getting married, having kids. My thing is, once you get married, you locked in. You locked in. Why are you rushing to get there? Like, why was I rushing to get there? You locked in. The wedding is only for a day. The marriage is for a lifetime. Once you married, that's it. That's it. So it's like, why am I rushing to get there? This is the only time in my life I'll be by myself. This is it. This is the only time in my life I'll be by myself. And this is the prayer that I prayed. I begged God for this. I remember being in my parents' house. I was so mad to be in my parents' house for so long. I did not like it. I hated it. I hated it because I felt so embarrassed. I felt like a loser. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm over 30 years old. I'm in my mid-30s still living with my parents. But that was the greatest blessing I ever had that God could have ever given me, was living with my parents after college, after I graduated with my undergrad. That was the greatest blessing I could have ever received from God. One of the greatest blessings I could have ever received from him so far is that time watching their marriage, being right there watching their marriage, watching them have their disagreements and how they recovered from that, and how they prayed and what their relationship was like, how they had a have a friendship, and that was beautiful. And I didn't appreciate it until I wasn't there anymore. Yeah. I remember, and I'll never forget it. I was washing dishes one day in my mama's kitchen. Nobody was home. It was just me. And I remember washing dishes, and I looked out the kitchen window, and I said, "Lord, before you send my husband, I just want to be by myself. I want to be by myself so I can grow in you and get to know who I really am." That was my prayer. I prayed some other stuff, but I ain't telling y'all that. It ain't none of y'all business. Concerning me and my husband. But yeah, I prayed that. And God gave, he has given me what I asked for. He's given me what I asked for. But I was so busy trying to rush to the next thing, I couldn't see. I'm literally living in a prayer, an answered prayer. I'm living in an answered prayer. And then the thing is, when you're trying to rush to the next thing, you complain about where you are. Because you're trying to get to the next thing. So you complain about where you are. That's the problem with the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness with Moses, they were so sick of being in the wilderness, which it was supposed to only be like an 11-day journey. They ended up being there for 40 years. And everybody that came out of Egypt died. The only people that went in were the grandchildren, the children and the grandchildren. But, yeah, they complained. They started complaining. Because they're tired of being in the wilderness. So they complained. They were complaining so much. They were talking about how they were glorifying being in bondage. Oh, how we wish we could go back to Egypt. We had leeks and onions. I ain't never heard nobody complain about not having an onion. I'm like, onions and leeks? I can see if you said some chicken, some lemon pepper wings or something. No, they talking about onions and leeks. What? Just complaining about anything. That's the problem. When you rush, you complain about where you are. And don't even realize that where you are is an answered prayer. They prayed to God and asked him to get them out of bondage. They're out of bondage. They're in freedom. But because they're not moving at the pace they want to move, or because it's not how they want it to be, oh, now we're going to complain. Not even thanking God that we're out of bondage. So God blessed me with a home. But I complain, I ain't married yet. Oh, I ain't got no kids. And like I told my pastor, we were texting about the pastor that he was talking about or referencing. I said, I was complaining about not having a family and not even not having children. Not even, and it wasn't until last year. It wasn't until last year that I actually saw it. It's like, my students are my kids. God blessed me with children that I did not have to birth, that I don't have to feed when I get home, that I don't have to deal with when I get home. I literally got to skip the pamper stage, the spit up stage, the tearing my house up stage. And I come to work and love on these people's children, teach them stuff, and I get to go home and none of them come home with me. That is the best thing I have. I don't know what greater gift there is other than Jesus down on the cross for me. Like, this is amazing. I don't have to be married to have this gift. I didn't have to sacrifice my body for this gift. Well, technically I am, because child, my knees standing up all day on that concrete floor. Lord have mercy. So we're going to take that out. Yes, I do sacrifice my body for these kids. But I don't have to be married for this. I don't have to cook, even though I do cook sometimes. I do cook sometimes for my kids, but not every day. I don't have to spend money on snacks. I used to, but I don't no more. These teenage boys eat too much. They eat too much, y'all. But you see what I'm saying? I was mad at God because it's like I don't have any kids yet. I'm also, I don't had kids since how old was I when I started in the school system? I don't had kids since then. And now I got my own classroom full of kids. These are my babies. Even though they're 18 feet tall. These are my babies. These are my sons. These are my daughters. And it's a gift. And I didn't even realize it and I didn't appreciate it until the end of last year, last school year. I didn't appreciate it until my babies was graduating. I just saw one today and I said, I miss y'all so much. Please come back. But these are my children. And I'm like, God filled my heart with all of these kids that I get to make an impact on every single day. I was taking for granted, complaining about them, all this stuff. I'm surrounded with my own babies. And it's like, you know what? Okay, Lord, I see what you did. You didn't give me what I wanted. You gave me what I needed. So now I don't have to look back and go, oh, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do. I don't have to look back no more. I don't have to. Looking back keeps you from moving forward. It keeps you from moving forward. It keeps you from pursuing God's will for your life and pursuing purpose because you're constantly looking back, comparing what you see and where you are to what you wanted. And then you complain, like, God is tired of complaints. And I even heard it said, God is so sovereign. He not only answers our prayers, he answers our complaints too. He'll give you exactly what you wanted. Sometimes it may not be the way you want it, but he'll answer that because children of Israel complained about not having meat. He gave them pigeons or quails, excuse me. He gave them quail. And while the meat was in their teeth, they got sick and died. He gave them exactly what they were complaining about. Remember Lot's wife. Surrender your desires, your wills, your will for God's way and His will for your life. You have to surrender. You have to surrender. If you don't surrender, you're going to make it hard for yourself. Trust me, I know. All right, y'all. The next time you hear my voice, I'll be in the 40s. I am just, I still can't believe I'm turning 40, y'all. Like, this is crazy, but praise God. But like I said, I'm going to take a little break. And yeah, I'm gonna take a little break. So I'll be back. The first. Let's do the 1st of February. Yeah, let's do the 1st of February. I'll be back the 1st of February, okay? So I'm gonna take 3 weeks. Please, please, please make sure you share this podcast. Please make sure you share with your friends, your family. Please don't forget to go back and listen to other episodes. There are plenty of episodes, okay? So we'll pick back up February 1st. I hope y'all have a great beginning to your new year so far, and I will talk to y'all later. I love y'all. Bye.